Alrighty, we have some explosive news to come out over the weekend. We'll discuss all that. First being Jordan Montgomery listed as a potential destination, potential free agent for the D-backs to sign. Potentially with the wake of Eduardo Rodriguez's injury, we're going to talk about that. Who potentially replaces Erod in the rotation, for how long he's out, and the topic of the week for Major League Baseball, Shohei Ohtani being linked to an illegal sports book in California. We're going to lay out the facts and give our opinions on that, because that's what every baseball podcast wants to do. Talk about the biggest superstar in the thing. So, as always,
unsurprisingly, I'm sad. Like and subscribe. Hit that like button. Leave a comment down below. Share us on all your social media. We'd really appreciate it.
All right, so our first topic, obviously the big bombshell coming out today from Jim Bowden from the Athletic. He said, typed out a tweet, "Don't sleep on Jordan Montgomery," which if you go through my Twitter feed, I responded by retweet, quote tweeting it with sleep emoji and then a bunch of Z's emojis. If you ever wanted to figure out where that is.
Yeah. But, I think I'm more skeptical because it's Bowden, but you know, I guess that if they sign him, it really says a couple things, doesn't it?
Yep, it does.
It obviously Eduardo Rodriguez's injury may be worse than what we know. He could be out for an extended amount of time. That seems like a possibility. Well, they may not trust their options in the rotation, another thing. And then finally, it are the Diamondbacks all in? Like I would say that it absolutely does if they sign him.
All right, so I'm gonna double check here. I think Nick Pecora had an article. I'm gonna go try and find that.
He definitely lends credibility. He didn't shoot it down. He's got good sources. So far, no one we know is shooting down this story, and there's some credibility to it. I don't know what the terms of this would be, and if it's a long term contract, it says a lot. A short term contract, I think it's just you could be on a winner, on a what's the word they call it, a pillow contract, and then,
basically what a.
Hopefully get a bigger contract from there. Yeah, basically, that's the best bet. Even Eduardo Rodriguez had something similar at one point. So that seems like it could be what he's going for. Because, I mean, we're a week away from opening day. We've already played actual baseball games. So,
yeah.
I mean, that's really the factor.
Montgomery wouldn't help you now, but the idea would be he'd be an upgrade later when he's fully ramped up over internal options. Although, like I said, when Erod, I think they're pretty happy. At least with Nelson, I think they're going to be pretty happy with their internal options.
Yeah.
Considering the peripherals are pretty good, obviously the whip is a little bit high because he gave up 22 hits in 22/3 innings, but obviously spring stats are weird.
Yeah.
Spring because you can pull starting pitchers and then bring them back into the game, that type of thing.
Well,
it's starting like to happen regularly, so that's a problem. So then something might be a little bit problematic, but yeah, that's why you have to take spring stats with a grain of salt.
Well, that you're playing against guys that may never see a major league at bat ever in their life. There's people that won't be in baseball in a year. That's spring training has all kinds of people. So, yes, you're going to face people in the prime that, are obviously like tough at bats, but you're also going to get those, the ones that really like are not the best opponent. You have literal a 17-year-old in camp with Padres. Okay. I mean, yes, Ethan Salas is a good catcher, a good prospect, but still you have literal teenagers in camp that you're facing against. I think that you have to factor that in.
Yeah. I've seen plenty of 19-year-olds in spring training. This year,
you don't normally see 17-year-olds in spring training or 16-year-olds, which is that really says. I mean, it's off topic, but that says a lot about a prospect if they're that young in spring training camp to even get the invite. So, yeah, I mean,
I mean, we got to put an asterisk around Ethan Salas since he basically manipulated the system to get signed at 16 instead of 18.
Oh yes, he absolutely gamed it. He actually should have been drafted as a high schooler, but he kind of played around the rules to
Vlad Jr.
qualify. Yeah, and that's good for them for taking advantage of him and getting a much larger signing bonus than they otherwise would be. The slot system kind of plays into that. So that gets way off topic. What he did is he went moved to Venezuela because his dad has a major a training facility there. Finished school there, so he qualifies as an international prospect instead of as an amateur prospect. I mean, there's a difference in how you're classified if you're draft eligible or if you're international signing eligible. And he basically moved to Venezuela at an early enough age that he qualify as an international prospect, even though he spent a good chunk of his life in the U.S. already.
Okay, so by the way, going up on Ethan Salas, he signed for $5.6 million, which is higher than the first nine picks only have a higher signing bonus than what Salas got.
And there's no guarantee that he's going to be drafted that high. So that's good for them for gaming the system like that. I mean, it's a great work. If you can do it, why not?
All right, let's do Vlad Jr. just for fun. So we're going to entertain
way this. Off topic. 3.9. But this is the baseball system now. Yeah, Vlad grew up. He grew up in Canada, so that's kind of like right. Heavily gaming.
So let's get back to Montgomery here.
Yeah. I don't think it's very likely. I'd be very surprised if he's. I'd be shocked, honestly, if they gave him a long-term contract. If they give him something similar to Eduardo Rodriguez or like a one-year deal.
Well, Eduardo Rodriguez contract. Is a long-term contract. It's 4 years plus a vesting option for a fifth year.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That would be what I'm saying. If he gets a contract like Eduardo Rodriguez, I would imagine he'd get more. Don't think that's going to happen. I think he's probably going to get like a one-year deal if he signs with the Diamondbacks. Maybe a player option.
I think there's a little bit of risk settling for a short-term deal, obviously. We factor in age. Yeah. Montgomery is 31.
Yeah.
He's entering his age 31 season. He'll pitch all of 2024 at 31 since his birthday is December 27th. And Montgomery, for the most part, is a solid middle of the rotation guy. Has a career ERA plus of 116. If you look it up on Baseball Reference, pretty solid numbers around ERA, career ERA 3.68, FIP 3.75. And is coming off. He's coming off a four B war season. We'll check Fangraphs real quick.
I mean, he's definitely a better option than like 90% of our minor league options and like any of the non-roster invitees. Like he's definitely one of the better options to have.
Okay, so it's pretty consistent.
I would put him maybe like ahead of E-Rod in the rotation. So he'd be there number three.
The only thing that kind of concerns me with Montgomery is his xERA significantly underperforms his other stats. But then again, I don't think xERA has been around long enough to verify.
That's not really a stat
it's
that
predictiveness.
I look at. Yeah, I don't know if that's terribly predictive of future value there. I mean, I would be happy. Like, it pretty much says the Diamondbacks are all in. They really want to go back to the World Series and win it this time. But we're already in the territory where, like, the balance sheet is very close to being full. I mean, Ken Kendrick is not the level of wealth of like, a Steve Cohen at all.
No.
Like, he's
Kendrick's
he's
probably the bottom five in terms of wealth with major league owners, but I don't think that matters.
Probably ahead of Oakland. The Reds, maybe the Rockies, and then maybe...
No, I think Dick Monfort's worth more than Kendrick.
Yeah, he might be. Yeah, there's not many teams that have owners that have less net worth than Kendrick. So, I mean, if Rory Kapan is the balance sheet, though, and I don't see him extending payroll that much more. I mean, I would tell me, like, if I had a guess, he's going to make a signing, or he's going to sign Jordan Montgomery, it's going to be a short-term deal that's a pillow contract, because it's already kind of late in the game now. Like, he's going to be a mid-season acquisition after a certain point. It's going to take him that much longer.
It is a mid-season acquisition at this point.
Yeah, that's kind of where you're at. So, I mean, if Mike Hazen is willing to negotiate with Scott Boras right now, then it kind of says that getting kind of desperate on teams to sign with. The Diamondbacks are a great team to sign with. Like, I mean, they've proven they're a good young team that should improve. You don't have to go far to, you know, like, it seems like that's a, I'd be surprised, but I think it says more, like, I think Kendrick just wants to win the World Series this year. I mean, it's just like really the clock's ticking on his legacy, and he really wants it this year.
Also, I think the thing with Montgomery is why he's probably not gotten the offers he's looking for is the advanced metrics, especially the super advanced metrics that we already mentioned, XERA.
Yeah.
XERA 3.98, XFIP, which is normalizes home run rate to league average, but similar calculation to FIP, which really likes Montgomery.
Yeah.
Has 401 Sierra, which we don't often cite because it's a difficult calculation. I don't know the calculations effectively, so I don't understand the stat as much. 4.23. So super advanced metrics don't probably project Montgomery to be around the same level as Eduardo Rodriguez. And I'll look up Rodriguez real quick. So that way we have a baseline in comparison. All right. So Rodriguez, 404 XERA, 406 XFIP, and a 426 Sierra. So very similar.
Yeah, they're pretty much like, I mean, they're different handedness, if I remember correctly, right?
Similar, and they're age-wise, they're only 4 months apart.
I mean, I mean, ideally, he'd want to get at least, I mean, I know, no matter what, he's not going to get the contract that he wanted to start the offseason. No. It's not going to happen. No one's gotten the contract they wanted other than the Japanese and Korean players that have come over, plus Itani.
Scott Boras' biggest win this offseason is Jung-Hoo Lee.
Yeah, that's a lot.
And it feels like the Giants got a steal for that contract.
Absolutely.
I've seen him play one game, and it's like, okay, yeah, I see why.
He's very talented.
Giants are all in on this guy.
He's very talented. I think that people are sleeping on him, actually. No one's going to get the contract that they wanted. So, I mean, I'm really curious, like, so there's another team on that's, I mean, I, from what I understand, that there are a couple teams that have offers on the table. Are the Diamondbacks one of those teams that have a long-term offer on the table? I've heard there's two.
No such indication has been made.
Because I'd be surprised if there are, like, if they're one of the teams that has a long-term offer. I would assume this is new. This is not, like, you know, I would assume that Mike Hazen was done communicating with agents in terms of free agents right now, like months ago, like after the Grichuk signing, I pretty much thought he would be done.
All right. So here's the article in question. So as you can see, and this was written by Nick Picora. So multiple sources did not express optimism about the likelihood of reaching a deal, but things could change considering that Rodriguez could be out. I'm going to say at least speculatively, I'm not reporting anything on this. I have to watch. It's Rodriguez, in my opinion, is going to be out at least till the middle of April.
Yeah, that's
because they got to shut him down and ramp him up a little bit. They got to ramp him up to at least be able to throw five innings at the major league level before they activate him off the IL.
I mean, depending on the seriousness, it could be like May, in my opinion. I think he could be like the first week of May.
Well, that's if it's a grade two latch strain. A grade one latch strain, I'd expect to be back middle of April.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I'm saying. If it's a worst case scenario like this in terms of the latch strain, I would think that, I mean, if he has setbacks too, that could be, that would be a more likely timeline guy in early May. So
from what Torrey is, mean, that, okay.
If that's the case, then the Jordan Montgomery signing would make a whole lot of sense. But they'd both be coming out back at the same time, so I don't get it.
Yeah, so the thing about signing Montgomery would be to increase your ceiling. So that way you're replacing uncertainty. You don't know what you're getting out of Nelson. And the 1 year you gave him, he was terrible. Now, of course, I think he's better.
No, I think
improvement is not necessarily linear.
Not at all, especially with
very often it's one step backwards, two steps forward.
Sometimes things just click overnight, and that does happen. And I, but
Ryan Nelson,
you can never count on that. And I think it's a similar case actually is the Giants acquiring Robbie Ray. It's like basically he's going to be on the DL until at least
the All-Star break.
The All-Star break. So, I mean, that's the same kind of thing as you're looking at upside down the stretch to some extent. Because, I mean, let's face it, the other starters have had great springs. Like the best spring this in terms of starting pitching has been Ryan Nelson, which is alarming.
Well, I don't know. It depends on how you view alarming. Like I said, you kind of have to take some of the you can't look at the ERA, for example. Like there's too much.
Yeah, and too much noise. The ERA is
inflated by the fact that Alec Baker gave up a grand slam after he left the game. The inning.
Okay, yeah, we're talking about practice anyway. So, it doesn't necessarily matter, but at least raises an eyebrow in terms of can you, maybe the projections are right that Gallen and Kelly will regret. I mean, there's implications to a bad spring. You don't necessarily need to read into it. I normally don't. I don't think it matters at all. A lot of pitchers, especially older pitchers, who just dick around in spring training with new pitches and kind of test out new things. They don't necessarily give batters, especially batters that they're going to face, more often than others, anything good to see. So, you got to throw it out there. But then again, a lot of guys are fighting for a roster spot.
Yeah, I think it's like it's like guys that are more established might do something different, like Seawald working on a changeup.
Yeah.
And then I think Torrey mentioned Kershaw famously would just throw fastballs over the plate against the D-backs so they wouldn't see what he's actually doing.
Zach Greinke is like the prototypical pitcher who just dicks around in spring training. Like he does not.
Nah, he just dicks around, period.
Yeah, well, I mean, more so than he normally does. Like, officially when he's testing out. I mean, I know Randy to some extent. We know what happened in spring training with him. He hit, had a dove explode. So, I would kind of mess around in spring training after that. Because, pitching outdoors in southern area, southern Arizona, that's going to happen.
Actually, occasionally. Cold this spring, kind of. Cold-ish.
Yeah, I wonder how much that's been a factor as well, actually, into the some of the poorer starts in spring training is it's not been particularly warm. It's been a pretty mild, the temperature has not been, it's been pretty cold for Arizona for the time of year.
All right. So anyways, going into the topic of replacing Eduardo Rodriguez in the rotation, you can almost print that Ryan Nelson's going to make the rotation. Almost print.
I would assume that he is.
Yeah, but you can't print because Torrey hasn't said it yet.
Yeah,
you gotta wait until he says it before you can print.
We have to wait like 2 days per day until we're gonna find out. And it seems like pretty much a given. I would assume it's gonna be Nelson and Henry. Did they option Henry already?
No, Henry's still. Henry and Jarvis are both still in camp. They only sent out Herrera today.
Okay,
so and by then today we mean Sunday.
Yes. I would think that they're going to do Nelson and Henry in the rotation and have Jarvis as a long man or swing man, or we want to call it. Especially with that, replacing another spot in the rotation. You're not really going to be able to go. I know Zach Gallen and Merrill probably don't seem completely ramped up for the year. So I don't see them, going deep into game, so you will want a long man to start the year. So those are the pitchers that I'm expecting to make the roster.
Yeah, well,
if it, if they sign Montgomery, then you kind of would assume that he would get Montgomery the nod over over Henry.
I wonder what the deal is when you sign a pitcher. Obviously, they can't put him on the IL if there's no established injury.
Yeah. That's
And since he's a free agent, they can't send him to trip. I don't think his option situation. There's no option situation with him.
Yeah, no, that's it. That's a, you know, I think it'd be considered a rehab assignment. I think is how that works.
Yeah, I don't know if you can do a rehab assignment without an injury, but that's the idea.
Who's signed late in the past? I'm trying to think who's like the latest signed player, and I know they like. They started an extended spring training, and then
Jerkson Profar last year.
Okay, yeah, but I need a pitcher. So, well, something is someone who's like other than Jerkson Profar.
A pitcher. We can't count 2020. That's just weird.
Yeah, that doesn't count. No, I know there's been some examples of. Of actual,
like, can't do 22 either.
Scott Boras clients have signed late. That, last year, did that happen? I could have
sworn,
yeah, no, he doesn't count. We need a pitcher, so
I think this is unprecedented.
Yeah, I don't think there's been a pitcher that's like recently, and yeah, we can't, yeah, no, there's really no examples. Like, I guess I was thinking of that work stoppage.
Yeah, you have to factor out. You can't use stoppage happened as an example.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how that works. I think that they can go to like assigned to a minor league camp if they're willing. I mean, that's the only way that works. Like if you're on a major league roster and you've already hit all the milestones in terms of like playing time and all that, like they need your permission. Like they would need permission to sign someone like that to free agent.
If they were to, like,
they would need his permission to go to minor league camp or whatever. So I'm not sure how that works. I know they'd have to make a roster spot for him that's corresponding. That's the real thing with this is that they're going to have to cut some people in the next few days unless they work out a trade.
Yeah, I was going to say they're probably already going to have to make at least one 40-man roster move in the next 24 hours, considering Herrera has not. Was sent to Reno.
That was that's the most notable move of the day, actually. Is they're gonna have to make a move for Tucker Barnhart, who is a non-roster invitee. I'm not sure. It's pretty much like there's like two or three candidates that we've talked about before.
Pretty much it was Tucker Barnhart's job to lose.
Yeah,
that's how it felt to me, and he didn't lose it.
I don't think that he's that much of an upgrade over Jose Herrera.
He is defensively.
I can't really speak on that. I have not watched the guy enough, like, you know, in person to see him catch. I know, like, he's very good at stealing pitches that are like
framer, pitch caller.
Yeah.
He's great at the areas that Jose Herrera is not.
So, I mean, yeah, considering they both can't hit, I guess that's the difference maker.
Well, I mean, backup catcher, you're not expecting much offensively, so.
Yeah, it's definitely true. I mean, I don't think there's really much in the way. Like, Emmanuel Rivera, I don't think that he's going to be DFA. There's no chance it's going to happen.
No. He would get trade. Some team would try to trade for him if he got DFA'd.
That's pretty much what I see.
Especially a team that needs him and probably doubts their ability to get him on waivers, because there's a reason for all 29 other teams to claim him on waivers.
Yeah,
I think he'd be traded.
I don't think that he would make.
Except maybe the Braves.
Yeah, there's very few teams that wouldn't take him. Well, the Reds actually might need him soon. The way their luck's going in terms of infield news. Yeah, no, I don't see him being really an option. I've kind of floated around on X today, and I just disagree. Yeah, I think that your most likely option is probably for Lucky.
So, yeah, getting back into the starting pitching topic, I think who we see pitch against Cleveland Monday night will be who the fifth starter will be, because they're going to want to have him stretched out all the way, in my opinion. They're not going to do I don't know if they'll do the reentry rule or not. Well, actually, it's not a rule. It's a practice. I've been calling it a rule, but that's not a rule.
It's so odd thing to take a guy out of a baseball game, put him back in. Like, what? Because it makes it so clear that it doesn't count.
Yeah, it does.
It's like, okay, well, this is definitely a spring training game because this guy left the game and he's back in, and here's some guy that will may or may not ever make the major league.
Think about it this way. Every team is going to have as many wins as losses come March 28th.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not really sure. Like, I seem pretty settled to me, like, who would go for your fifth starter.
Yeah.
I mean, you're choosing. I mean, the options would be.
No, Nelson's lined up. All that's missing is the announcement, the official announcement. Yeah. So.
I mean, it's very obviously Ryan Nelson's going to make the rotation. If Erod has an extended time frame out, it'll be Henry or Jarvis. I could see them going with either one. I could see them giving Luis Frias a start.
Quotation like marks with the start.
Start. Also see. Yeah, no, I'd be like, that'd obviously be like a bullpen game, basically. I mean, they could do that too. They don't necessarily have to do anything as far as making a roster move. I mean, there is some flexibility with, like, you know, if you do have Jarvis out of the bullpen, he can give you some innings. So, I mean, if they're going to put him on the roster anyway, you could just do that and have him, you know, go as long as possible, and then the rest of the game, throw the bullpen out there.
Yeah. So you got options. So since we're talking about the fifth start, and I said Ryan Nelson's all but is, you can basically write him in pencil. I asked Tori about how Nelson has kept the bar high in the competition. This was his answer.
Look for that. I think the spirit of competition brings out the best in athletes, and I don't want anybody to win by default. I want people to go out there and set that standard, and everybody achieve or try to get as close as they possibly can to that standard. So. He's been the early pace setter. He's done a great job. He's blocked out all the black noise, which is challenging, and he's executed at a very high level. So I want everybody to, you know, take notice of that. We have, and the people around him that he's trying to bring up, I want them to take notice of it too, which I think they have done as well.
All right. So,
I mean, he's right. Like I actually agree with him. Like, cause you don't want to just give a guy a job, you know, despite doing the default, like, and they actually like try their best and like prove themselves, especially young guys that are proven. Like, that's part of you know, being a major leaguer, proving that you're a major leaguer to some extent.
Yeah, with Nelson, I feel like it's like finding the right pitch. He's still trying to find the right pitch mix, in my opinion. That slot, when to throw the harder slider versus the slower slider.
Yeah.
What count and I've counts, locations, and whatnot, but changeups improved. The fastball is definitely improved, for sure. The extension's up, the velocity's up, and he's blowing it by hitters that when he couldn't do it last year, kind of thing. That's so I would say he's drastically improved across the board. Hopefully, it has some staying power. Last year, you could tell there were issues, and it never got better. He would have spurts where he had more than his fastball, but it just wasn't there enough.
Yeah, no, I see some real improvements from last year. Just like, even, you know, if you're looking at some of his better starts, and like even like some of his better starts in the minors too. Like, I see some real improvements in spring. I think, he's really is just figuring out that right pitch mix is going to be really the key. And I think it seems to be clicking for him. He's having a very solid spring. He's like just striking out. Yeah, I think I'm pretty sure he has most strikeouts on the team. I could be wrong.
Second most strikeouts in spring training.
Yeah, so
I don't think it takes much detective work to figure out who number one is.
I don't know. Who is it?
Spencer Strider.
Oh, okay. I was saying all Major League Baseball. Yeah, he's not the D-back. He has the most strikeouts. Yeah. Spencer Strider, that's not surprising at all, actually. He's really had a good spring too. I think that he's a guy who keep an eye on dark horse for, not really dark horse. I mean, I don't think anyone would be surprised if he won a Cy Young.
Yeah, I don't have the video.
But it, you know, Nelson, I think he's pretty much all but, you know, like that Torrey basically all but said he got the job. I mean, that's really, there's not a whole lot of stuff left for in terms of decisions for him to make. It's down to that last.
Who starts March 30th is basically what they're down to. And if they're going to carry both Henry and Jarvis, I mean, that's what it is.
Yeah.
And if they make a 40-man roster move for Barnhart, or if they find somebody else, but I doubt they're going to find somebody else.
Yeah, I would be kind of surprised if, like, Hazen goes and makes a move to acquire a catcher, or, like, if that's what you're saying, or pick someone off. I mean, I don't know if there's even a catcher on waivers, but or someone out there, but there's a chance. I could see him making a move like that. Doesn't really seem likely. I think there's probably less certainty of I feel more likely about Nelson. I'm just kind of surprised that they're going to go with Barnhart still. I mean, I understand, like you're saying, like he's better defensively, but I feel like there's better options for him out there. Who? I don't know. Not Jose Herrera, obviously.
Yeah, you can't consider. Well, you got the name named when you say there are better options out there. That's how it works.
I don't know who. That's how it works. There are always more better, you know. Better and more efficiency.
All right. You know? So I'm thinking, obviously, they're going to start with Barnhart, and then if it doesn't work out, they'll let him go, kind of thing, and they'll still have Herrera ready, available if that comes to pass.
That's what makes the most sense to me. It's like they still have Herrera in the minor leagues. You know what you're going to get from him. There's a chance that, you know, Barnhart is not done offensively. Like, he definitely is capable of hitting better than he has been recently. I don't think that he's going to, but there's some upside there that's not, you know, if the focus is just having a very competent defensive catcher that you can, you know, like that's their focus. Okay. Makes sense. If it doesn't work out, like you said, there's Jose Herrera there. I don't really consider much of the other, you know, passing options in the system really relevant.
And of course, quick wrap up here before we move on to the final topic is backup infield. I think we can pencil in Jace Peterson and Emmanuel Rivera as the backup options on the infield. And then the final decision is who takes Grichuk? Who would be, if Grichuk starts the year on the IL, do they carry a fifth outfielder or a seventh infielder? In my opinion, they're going to carry a fifth outfielder.
Yeah, I mean, I think everyone's going to be disappointed when Blaze Alexander doesn't make the opening day roster. That's what it kind of feels like, is that like they're giving him extended look, and so far he hasn't done nothing to indicate that he should be sent down.
He's done everything he could to make the roster.
He's done everything that he can, and he may be the last cut.
Oh, he will be the last cut.
He's going to be the last cut, and I feel really bad for him, and I'd be very surprised if he gets cut over. I mean, let's say they trade Rivera and then they go with him. Like, it's the only way I can see them doing this. They don't have Rivera on the roster. It's almost a given.
Well, if they trade Rivera, that would open up room for Alexander possibly, but.
Yeah.
They've already Andres is already out. Newman's been reassigned.
Yeah.
So. And I don't know if Newman's going to trigger the opt out. There's no reason for him to stick around.
Yeah, I don't really see it. Well, he's from Arizona. He has Arizona roots. The only reason why I could see it, but he'd be in Reno all year, which is like
San Diego native.
San Diego native. Well, it's not that far off from home, so I could see him sticking around there just from the ease of travel from the area to there. But yeah, he's got no reason to stick around in Reno
because Lawler's going to get the lion's share starts at shortstop. Blaze is going to get whatever Lawler doesn't get.
Yeah,
Alexander's probably going to play three different positions a week.
Yeah.
But like I said, if Perdomo doesn't hit well, that's when you're going to see Blaze come up, I think.
I mean, unless Jordan Lawler just sets the world on fire immediately, I don't think we're going to see him until at least the All-Star break.
I won't be paying attention to WRC Plus that much. Since we can look at quality contact for the minor leagues, and I don't have to make a spreadsheet this time.
It's a game changer this year, is that we can actually go much more in depth into the what's going on in Reno, and like, are these guys actually making good contact, or is it just a you know, fluky playing on the moon stat.
Yeah. The difference between Dominic Fletcher and Buddy Kennedy last year.
It also, like, that also allows to see, like, what kind of contact, you know, hitters are making off of pitchers. You can really actually know if they're being, like, there's a good chance that they'll see at the major league level, or if their Reno stats are actually reflective of their talent, which is, you know, it's hard to tell when a guy has, like, an ERA close to five, if they're going to be good or not. Like, regardless of talent level. Like, the only guy who hasn't has been Brandon Fott, and that's it.
Well, that's because Fott has a career ERA in Reno of, like, 3.5.
Just owned that ballpark. So, yeah, it's really, like, it's a game changer this year. So we can really actually, you know, get more info than we used to.
Yeah. So looking at, I'm going to look up Brandon Fott's AAA ERA.
I know it's gone up a little bit because he had a few bad starts.
3.58
when he was 7. Yeah. He had an ERA lower. Yeah.
3.16 in Reno.
That's gone up too.
22 starts, so that's a legit sample size.
And he had a couple bad starts, which brought that up. But 3.16, like, that's not normal for that ballpark or that league at all.
Yeah, so, the Phillies agree with you.
Yeah. Yeah, sure they do.
Phillies in their strikeout prone lineup. Struck out 16 times against Fott.
That's definitely got that was
two runs on him.
Facing a tough lineup in Reno is definitely training for, you know, that kind of lineup that Philly has with just guys, you know, swinging to the moon. Because if you see a guy like Brent Fott on the mound in a really heavy hitter environment, that's what a lot of guys try to do. That's the big mistake hitters will make and be like, oh, well, this is a ballpark I can hit, you know, I hit real well in, right? Just to try to swing for, you know, the fences against a guy that has, you know, kind of some deceiving stuff. You're not going to have a lot of success there. And I think it's a big part of why he had some of the success. But that's, like I said, it's not the norm. And being able to distinguish that quality of contact now will be a huge thing this season to really kind of wrap up that statement.
Yeah, we can actually look up whiff rates in that at that yeah. level. But anyways, shifting topics here, let's talk Ohtani and this investigation about an illegal sports book involving his interpreter and all the interesting findings that the media has found in the last week or so. So where do we start?
I wished on a monkey paw that we could talk about this on the podcast. And it's my fault. It's all my fault. It's not Ipe's fault or his fault. I just wished on a monkey paw. And you know how that works out is it's always twisted around. And now we have a gambling scandal and that's just wonderful. I don't know. I mean, the story has changed so much that like, let's go over the facts. First of all, is that the FBI was investigating an illegal bookmaker.
Just having a bookmaker in California is illegal.
Yeah, that's illegal. That's why I say illegal bookmaker. Just be specific. It's illegal to gamble in California. So this is independently. One of the things that actually, like, I know there's two stories going on. There's a pulled ESPN story where he was like, oh, they pay. Oh, Shohei is a great friend and he paid my gambling desk because I'm a gambling addict, because basically it was the original story. And then the fact that Shohei wired money to an illegal bookie in California is a really bad look. And then the attorneys, I guess, were like, no, that's not what happened.
It's like, forget a bad look. It's a federal crime, I think.
I mean, from what I understand, that there were multiple payments of $500,000 that were labeled loan. I don't know if that the veracity of that is. I know they add up to like $4.5 million gambling debt, which, I mean, of course, people are wondering, like, how did Ipe have the money for it? And it really just seems like the guy gave him the credit line because he knew he was friends with Ohtani and he knew Ohtani would cover him. Just because, yeah, I mean, for whatever reason. Or he was trying to reel him in and get him to gamble there, too. There's a lot of possibilities. Yeah, I mean, the more I hear, though, I think Ipe might have, you know, like his resume and his background, I guess, is not what, you know, we were told. He didn't go to school where he said he was. He went to a casino school. I have to, like, find the story on that. I can link reference later. But yeah, no.
Let me look this up while you continue.
Yeah, so he, I guess he went to a school in Japan to go to gambling, like become a casino dealer. And if that's so the case, I really think that he's the guy to place the bets. I don't think Otani placed any bets. There's no allegations of him placing bets, and there's no allegations of him, any of them, either one, betting on baseball.
Yeah, because the thing, obviously, the holes in this story is never went to UC Riverside.
Yeah.
That was reported by Sam Blum of The Athletic, and he's the Angels beat writer. And if he, when he's not, he's a national guy. Red Sox have said he doesn't work, hadn't worked for them as Okajima's interpreter, and that's pretty easy to tell. I think, I forget the name of the interpreter was, but I think his first name was.
Or for the Yankees, too. Yeah, like we know that he wasn't the interpreter for Okajima for the Yankees or the Red Sox, so that's not true. Like, it sounded like no one ever did a background check on the guy, and he took advantage of his friend. And I guess Shohei is, I mean, I actually really wouldn't be surprised if he's that naive, just from the way, like, it. The biggest thing that you hear about is he's delegated a lot of his non-baseball, basically anything not baseball related, he's delegated someone else in his life, including to Ipe. So, I mean, he certainly would have access to his finances and his account.
I was gonna say most baseball, and that's probably not an uncommon practice for
that doesn't raise any
baseball
eyebrows.
Players that make tens of millions of dollars a season.
When you're the best player on the team, and one of the best players in the game,
you bet
in the world, you're gonna have a personal assistant. I mean, even before then, he had his mom handle his money in Japan. Like, he just gave all his money to his mom, and he's like, "Hey, mom, give me this. I just want enough to live off of." You know, and he stayed in the dorms of Shohei doesn't even like. I mean, one of the most telling comments about all this was the LA Times beat reporter for the Dodgers.
Jack Harris
said that I don't know who it said, but he said like he sleeps 14 hours of a. I'm pretty sure, quote unquote, he sleeps 14 hours a day. I don't know when he would find the time, and all of his teammates have said he has no interest in anything but baseball.
Yeah, he's more interested in his Hall of Fame placard than making an extra $5 million.
You're told him they're told implicitly.
A guy who's going to make $700 billion and basically get paid until he's 50 years old.
Million, but I mean, like by the time he's done playing, he'll have well over a billion net worth anyway, just from endorsements and everything. I think last year he had $70 million in Japan in terms
65, I think, is what it was.
I don't know. I mean, he's well above any other MLB player in terms of endorsements. So he has the money. He doesn't really need to gamble. So it doesn't make sense to me is why you would think a guy who won only.
It's not about money with these guys.
It's about an addiction when it's like that. That's pretty much the thing. Like but I understand. Like also having a friend that's in trouble and has an addiction, and you're trying to help them, and you know wanting to do whatever you can as your friend to help them.
Of course, obviously you want to help them, but obviously enabling is not helping.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing. I was saying he's a young guy. He's honestly been kind of sheltered from the world, from what I can tell.
Yeah, he's 28.
I'm not trying to just to defend him. I'm just saying like this is really my observation over like I've followed him since he was in the Koshien tournament. So since he was a high schooler, and 29. Literally, you don't hear. I don't know if he has any interest other than baseball. Like I legitimately don't think he does, other than sleeping. Like he says, the one thing that he couldn't do without in life is a pillow. A good pillow.
That's true for a lot of people.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm cool with a whatever pillow, you know, like just the basic. I mean, he's like, no, he does. The only thing he really said was the one thing you do without is a pillow. He doesn't really have, doesn't really watch TV. Doesn't really, you know, read manga or, you know, anything like that.
Manga,
whatever. I'm American. I'm not going to. You know, say it like that unless I'm actually speaking Japanese. Like pretty much my thing is like, it seems really out of character for him to be like, oh, I'm going to hire this guy, but I'll get my interpreter. And then like, what, like, I would not be surprised if like, from what I understand, like, he had no idea what the fuck was going on. He was in the dugout with Ipe, like right before this. And Ipe has been doing all the translating. That's the real thing that comes out that kind of makes me think that it's not him, is that we have a guy who is responsible for communicating with everyone else, okay, unless they speak Japanese.
And keep in mind, there's Japanese reporters out there.
Yes, I mean, they would be able to tell
if there's any inconsistencies.
There have been. There legitimately have been. Like, his translations have always been really, like, I speak enough Japanese to know that, like I can understand enough that he does not translate it perfectly. He's always had very loose translations. Sometimes he'll say things that he did not say. Like, if you look at some of the ways he's translated his thoughts about, like, baseball in South Korea and, like, South Korean players, like, Shohei was like, oh, I think that some are really great and says something positive. And then Ipe's translation was like completely different. Or the Dodgers press.
The Dodgers had two interpreters.
What I'm saying is the initial introductory press conference, like the translation that he used was off enough that like I kind of questioned the guy's, like, after knowing all this, I really question the guy's character. Like, I do think he's capable of ripping off his friend and lying to the media, telling his friend enough that, you know, or with a team. Do they have another interpreter when he's in the office? Or, like, I mean,
yeah, they do.
Really, I could see it doing. I mean, if Shohei actually gambled with an illegal bookie, and that's his debt, He needs a year suspension at minimum. It's not a Pete Rose situation.
No, if Ohtani's caught gambling, well, actually, year suspension is the policy.
Yeah,
in the NFL.
If the truth actually came out that he had just throwing his friend under the bus, yeah, he probably actually does deserve a lifetime ban. What? I'm saying if the conspiracy theories about Ohtani are true, that he's this like Michael Jordan-esque, like, secret gambler that's, like, so that's the thing. Okay, Michael Jordan, here's the difference. Michael Jordan was playing dice with the security guard during the NBA Finals, okay? Making bets, like, $1,000 bets with the security guard during the NBA Finals. It was a totally normal thing. Like, guy bet on everything.
Michael Jordan has a competition addiction.
Yes, he is addicted to competition. I don't think that Shohei is addicted to competition. I think he's addicted to being the best baseball player.
Yeah. Nothing wrong with that. That's a healthy addiction.
Yeah, that's he wants to be the best. I can actually relate that. I wonder if Shohei's a little on the spectrum in terms of like how hyper-focused his interests are in baseball. I mean, it's not even like, I don't think there's any indication that he's neurodivergent, but He comes across that way. Well, I mean, we're all a little neurodivergent, but I mean, I think it's weird having that much of a hyper fixation on that without being on the spectrum. Because it's very typical.
Successful professional athletes have that.
Yeah, they have that drive. Yeah.
Drive.
You can be on the spectrum and be an athlete. There's actually like it's much more common than you used to think. A lot of people are undiagnosed. Of course, you'd be undiagnosed if that's the case. But just the narrow fixation on baseball, where that's all he does. Maybe that's his addiction is baseball itself. I don't think it's gambling. I don't think it's a Jordan thing where he's like making secret illegal bets and like, you know, having his interpreter make the bets for him with the legal book and then. And then wiring money from his own account. Like, that's the weird thing to me. Like, we know for a fact that Ipe had accesses to his finances to some extent as a personal assistant.
Yeah, like I said, we can just wait for the fact. It's like, most important thing is let's just, like, wait for the facts.
I mean,
unless you want to make some jokes, but don't make those jokes public.
The facts right now kind of show that he's a... Oh, Shohei Ohtani's friend and interpreter has an addiction to gambling. Either he stole from him, like the second story says, or Shohei like felt bad for his friend and wanted to pay off his debt and help him.
Yeah, MLB can't sweep this under the rugs. The feds are already investigating this whole thing.
Yeah,
that's how we found out.
Yeah, well, they're investigating an illegal bookie. Is really how that.
Yeah, they're going after the bookie.
Yeah, even the wire charge actually is much more targeted. Like the laws of like any laws that were broken in terms of wiring him money, they're much more targeted towards the bookmaker, not the better. So I mean, we're gonna find out eventually, and I mean, I could see. I think the most likely thing is he's just a naive guy who made a mistake trying to help a friend. I would be very surprised if anything.
I wouldn't be surprised if we turn around and find out that Ipe's been charged just to get him to talk, kind of thing. If there's a thing, they're not after the betters.
No, you know, like, no, I'm sure
like
part of it.
It's like drugs. They're not after.
That's the thing.
They're after the dealers, not the users.
I mean, the biggest worry actually is going to be the IRS. Like the IRS is going to be the biggest problem for Ipe. And Ohtani, to some extent, if he plays, you know, has any revenue that's not reported in terms of his gambling, if he gambled at all, that's the, like, you know, canonically, even the Joker from Batman does not mess with the IRS. So he'll mess with Batman and Superman and like people, literal people like who can laser you to death. IRS step too far.
Yeah. The IRS. No, thank you.
And
of course, it turns out in that episode of Batman, the money's fake.
Yeah, it was a scam. It's actually an adaption of I think like a 60s. I can't. Which it's like a it's
Batman's
an actual
been recycled.
Oh yeah. So you know how many issues times. Of just Batman there are of main Batman? There's like well over 1,000 at this point. We're just talking Detective Comics. So, but yeah. That's going to be his biggest problem is the IRS. And I don't really,
I think
know,
if Ohtani's caught gambling, the IRS is going to be the least of his worries.
Oh, that's going to hurt his image in Japan.
No,
that's going to hurt his endorsements a lot because a lot of them are based on the fact that
endorsements, his contract could be voided if the Dodgers wanted to do it. Possibly.
Here's the ironic thing is right before this story broke, I got a YouTube short pop up in my feed from a Japanese girl saying like, oh, why do Japanese women love Ohtani? Why are they fans of him? And it's like, oh, because he's clean, he's wholesome, he's got boyish good looks, and he's like, those are the main things. Is he's just like, and he's handsome. He is super hot. Like I agree. But that's the thing. Like that hurts everything but the hot. I mean, some people might think he's hotter. He's a bad boy now, so maybe he'll get more endorsements.
Well, is he married though? Well, they tied the knot recently.
Yeah, that hurts Ohtani to some extent because he was able to keep his relationship a secret for like months. Okay, like none of his friends even knew he had a girlfriend. I mean, credit to him. Japanese media is crazy when it comes to following. So for keeping his wife out of the spotlight, good for him for protecting her. But
who's the biggest celebrity in the U.S.?
He is able to keep some secrets.
So, yeah, who do you think is the biggest celebrity in the U.S.?
If we're not like talking about politicians,
let's keep it to the entertainment business.
Like Tom Cruise is probably up there. Robert Downey Jr. Trying to think of like who's put out like Adam Sandler is super popular in terms of like actors. Just talking actresses. Well, I'll go with like Emma Stone, I guess, or Zendaya.
Yeah,
Helen Mirren. We want to go older.
No, we want to go younger. We want to have more contemporary comparisons.
Betty White. Betty White was super famous. That's who I'm gonna go with as a woman, but she's dead, so she didn't count. Ryan
someone
Reynolds.
That's around 30, I would say.
Tom Holland is a celebrity. I mean, trying to think of people like actual Zayn Malik. I hear he's popular. I don't know. Like, I mean,
then
I don't really pay attention.
Regardless
to
of the examples, like they probably can't go to the, it's like people in Hollywood obviously can't go down the street without like being sworn by me.
Well, like Shohei can't go home. Like you go to the airport in Tokyo, you realize that the first thing that you see when you get off the airplane is a picture of him modeling a Seiko watch. Okay. And then you turn and I saw this on someone's Instagram feed. And they're like, oh, holy shit. Yeah, I guess he is super popular here. And it's like literally you walk through the airport, you're going to run into about 10 different ads of different brands with him.
Yeah, and I was going to say, when they were given an update that Shohei would talk address the media Monday, which may be before or after this episode posts, but I quote tweeted it with a gif of sharks just swarming in the ocean.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. I do not envy Ohtani right now at all.
They're not going to. They're going to have to do a full blown press conference on the field.
I would like to see him like clear some things up. Like, okay, did you really know about this? Like, and you know what? Like, we don't know. We don't know his side of the story. We don't even know if what Ipe said.
I'm pretty sure he'll say what his lawyers will tell him to say.
Yeah, I'm sure that's what he's going to do. But I'm saying we don't even know what the real story is from his perspective. Like, we've heard Ipe's perspective, two different things, and then we've heard his representative's perspective, which is like, oh, he was stolen. But as we know, like, it's problematic regardless of. I feel bad for him. He said if that's the case, he said a real betrayal of trust from one of his better friends, and that sucks.
Yep. I mean, that's the most innocent ending of the story.
Yeah, I mean,
think about it.
I think regardless, I mean, that's kind of the most likely outcome. You can at least say that he's had a friend really derail his life and take advantage of him, because it seems like he lucked into the job in the first place and screwed up a really, really sweet gig.
Yeah.
But the only person with a better gig is Snoop Dogg's blunt roller, who has no hands. I don't know if you've seen it. This guy has no hands. Snoop Dogg's on Instagram, rolling the blunt, and he's like, I'm going to hire him. This guy makes $300,000 a year just rolling all Snoop Dogg's blunts. And yeah, I know Snoop that doesn't Dogg's seem
a
like
bit
that.
Of brand than Ohtani, too.
It doesn't seem like that would be, like, you know, worth paying a guy $300,000 a year just to roll your blunts. But, like, we know Snoop Dogg, I guess that's worth it to him. So, not much sweeter gigs than Ipe had, and he screwed it up. And I kind of feel bad for everyone involved, honestly. Except for the Dodgers.
Probably 300,000, because that's what it costs for a basic standard of living.
Who's making three? From what I've heard, he was making anywhere from $300,000 to $500,000 a year.
We're talking about Ipe, or are we talking about
Ipe? He was making $500,000 a year after, at like, I think between his salary and like what he was doing as a personal assistant, he was making about.
No, I think the number reported is just his salary.
Is he just on salary?
Yeah.
I would think that there'd be two separate duties in terms of being a translator and being his personal assistant. That's a weird blur line. Like, I don't like that. See, that should have been a red flag in the first place. Is having your translator be even more than, you know, that.
Have no other value other than as such.
Yes, I think that's a bit much to have this guy, like, be responsible for communicating for you and also running your errands and making sure you're on your appointments and managing your finances. Like, he was managing some of his endorsements. He certainly had access to money. So, like, that's a red flag to me. You don't put that kind of power over. And he's 10 years older than Ohtani too. So there's an issue of power of, like, he very much had the opportunity to take advantage of Ohtani.
Like, if you wanted to compare to the D-backs, interpreter situation, one of the obviously it's easy to find someone who can speak Spanish in Arizona.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, that's a little
different. Alex Arpiza, like, serves as the primary interpreter for the Latin American players.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what their situation with Yumin Lin is, but they could hire Jack. I guess they could hire Jack if they needed somebody.
There you go, Jack. You gotta inquire into that. Like, hey, you can use your. I always forget that he's capable of quite a bit of a Chinese, and it was Mandarin or Cantonese they can speak. But I mean, that's kind of the thing, is you don't never normally put that much power over, you know, like, allow that much power over your life. I mean, that's a naive mistake to make, Michael.
So they got to definitely do their background check on who interprets for Yumin Lin, because Jack will be able to call out BS.
Yeah, that's a very, very wise thing to do, especially, like, I mean, yeah, like you said, like, speaking Spanish, Southern Arizona, like, it's common enough that, like, you can find random people in the audience who can say, hey, that's bullshit, if the guy's not really good at translating.
Yeah, and plus Arizona has a decent Spanish media presence too.
I've heard some translators for, like, other teams in the Northeast where I'm like, that's not what he said. No, he does a good job. He's a good translator.
Yeah, Alex Arpiza does his job well.
He does his job very well. He's a great guy too. I have nothing bad to say about his. He's capable of translating nuance from English to Spanish, which is incredibly hard. So, like, I have props to him for the job that he does. But I would hope that the Dodgers really invest in a new translator for him if he comes out of this clean without a suspension.
I think they already had somebody else available.
They had a translator.
Maeda's old translator.
They just limit the number of translators you can have in the clubhouse. So they use they used Ipe this spring because they had Yamamoto and Ohtani in the clubhouse. I don't think the Angels had more than one. Did the Angels have more than one Japanese translator? Like another Japanese players where they would even need it? It was just Ohtani. So
they only needed Ohtani. And plus, like I said, in Southern California, finding a Spanish translator is not hard.
Yeah, that same thing. But even then, like, that's one of those things. Like, I want to know how, the real story behind this is going to make for one hell of a documentary. Yeah.
So basically, Maeda's old interpreter ended up staying on the organization.
Yeah.
In a different role. And now he's back to being an interpreter beyond on top of what he normally does.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's, it's a crazy situation. And I don't even know, like, it's evolved every day so far. So, like, who knows? If we may find out that his mom was actually, like, accessing his accounts, and then she framed D-Pay, and, like, this is all bullshit, and they're just covering for Connie's mom.
Occam's razor, Wes, when you go into these tinfoil hat conspiracies.
Yeah. Well, I thought I'd throw out one last one before, you know, because everyone else is doing it. Yeah,
there's one joke I have that is not safe for print, even if it's a joke.
Yeah.
So... I will not. Nobody asked me what it is because I have no comment on that.
Yeah, we'll skip that one. So, like, anything that, like, this up now?
Yeah, I think we should wrap this up. So, thanks everyone. If you've made it this far and are wondering what the hell we're smoking, to find out, make sure to hit that subscribe button, leave a like, comment down below what you think of the Ohtani situation, and if the D-backs should sign Jordan Montgomery. Think the D-backs should sign Montgomery, basically. That's basically
or if they will, whatever, you know, or if you think that I'm pretentious, or, you know, you want to talk shit, go for it. I can handle the smack.
Yeah. And if you're listening in, make sure to leave a review either on your favorite podcasting platform, Apple, Google, Spotify, or Amazon, whatever podcast platform suits your fancy. We're on pretty much all the major ones. Looking to try and grow. We're quite far down the D-backs podcast totem pole, and we got a long ways to go before we catch up to Jesse and crew at PHNX. So you can help us get one step closer.
Well, like, subscribe, hit that notification button, and I will see you next time.
All right. Take care, everybody.